BlakeRadio.com.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward,
you're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
We are long past Cinco de Mayo. This is indeed the Raw Post Show, and no one will get the reference. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to indeed the Raw Post Show. We'll make this as awkward as Monday Night Raw. I am Sir Rockin'. That is Lindsay Ward.
Why do we need? What does it need to be Cinco de Mayo to have tacos? What is wrong with having tacos on a Monday or a Tuesday? Because as we all know, tomorrow is Tuesday, so we all know what that means, right, Luke Harper?
What seems like to be the thing, no matter the day, we know what it means.
This show was about as random as Luke Harper's Twitter, so help me God.
So was Luke Harper writing this show?
You know, it very well could have been. Because it was either that, or the writers were really, really, really under the influence of something.
It's always presented by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Yeah, this was a show that was full of awkward moments, awkward situations. Yeah, it was really, really awkward. So let's get some of the awkward things out of the way, which included the debut of the Shining Stars.
Oh, Lord Jesus. This was bad. This wasn't even awkward. This was just bad.
So we like.
I generally tried to find the positive in everything.
Yeah.
I can't find a positive here. I've tried. This is. They had 6 weeks and
That's what
the Matadors were better.
They fired the wrong foreign person. They should have kept Torito and fired them Epico and Primo because this was bad. Yeah,
I'm not even blaming Epico and Primo.
I don't blame them. This was, they had 6 weeks to come up with something, and they come up with what they did tonight, and it just, they came out to the ring, they talked, and they put everyone to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to own it. They really did. Bless them, they try, because, I mean, they are Puerto Ricans, so it's, they're doing their own gimmick. Make based on their own life. Hey, works for me. But, you know, it's just like, it's the most, you think of Puerto Rico and you think of all the culture and all the life and all the color and sound and food and everything, because my best friend at work is Puerto Rican.
Right.
So I think it's him, and it's like, I look at that and I think of him and I'm like, no, this is not Puerto Rico. This is not how this should be.
So they beat two guys, Hollis and Skyler. You would know them from NXT. That's who got jobbed out tonight. Two locals from Carolina.
It works.
More awkwardness included the Golden Truth taking on Fabriz. I don't know what Golden Truth was supposed to be, but it was awkward.
But on the upside, Fabriz.
Tyler Breeze continues to win.
Very, very happy about Fandango and Tyler Breeze being a thing. Very happy about this. Golden Truth, I'm a little terrified.
Truth hit Goldust by mistake, and Breeze got the win. afterwards in the back, they tried to make amends because the crowd, the fans wanted Golden Truth. I don't know if many people did, but the crowd cheered a little bit. But beyond that, what was really, really awkward about this was the 2-3 minute video package building up the debut of Golden Truth, the love package.
Yeah, that's a little awkward.
That was really, really, really awkward.
And we do not have another word, y'all. Every time we say awkward, take a shot, because we're going to drop that word a lot tonight.
Because there was another awkward segment. This one was a little better, but it was awkward. We had the New Day in the ring, and they had a New Day Lorian time machine, which Big E kept saying this is just a
giant refrigerator box,
and he's like, Big E stopped them every time. So they get in the giant refrigerator box, and or the time machine. First off, the keyboard is sticky. They get into
subtle.
So they get into the thing, and you just hear the screen shakes and everything, and does a whole bit. And Kofi stumbles out of the time machine, and his old music is playing, and he's back to his Jamaican roots. He's speaking in Jamaican, and he's like, "We didn't go back far enough." And Kofi didn't want to go because the line, 2009 was my best year. Leave me here, which was great.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Then they come back, and now they're in the bygone era with the black and white screen. They have the derriere squares, not bootios. They have an old phone, not a smartphone. There's no video game. And then Aiden English and Simon Gotch attacked them and left them laying. Segment was...
They destroyed the time machine, too.
They did. They did. So the New Day is stuck in the bygone era?
Well, I think it snapped them back to reality real quick when the vaudevillain showed up.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, I liked this segment. It was awkward, but I liked it. Out of all the awkward things, I liked this the most.
This was by far one of the most entertaining things, just because of New Day's interaction with each other. That was great. The Wayback Machine, that was great. You got heat on the vaudevillains, again, which was great. It was just another one of those really, this came out of left field spots in the show, which this happened a lot, where it was like they were just jumping from spot to spot to spot to spot. It didn't really feel like they had a natural flow to the show.
Right.
It was just like, and here now, the New Day.
Yeah.
With a time machine.
With a time machine. Yeah.
What?
So, there was a point where Stephanie and Shane were backstage, and they were talking, and we'll get to what they were, the one thing they were talking about in a bit, but the other thing they were talking about was when the Dudley Boys showed up, and how they were the guys from the Attitude Era, and they wanted to show them that they can still exist in the new era, and they wanted to beat up some locals. Stephanie says, we don't do that in a new era. But you did that 45 minutes ago.
Shh.
That's besides the point.
They worked for NXT, so technically they're NXT.
I guess so. But point was, they made Big Cass versus one of the Dudleys. It was Devon versus Big Cass. He had some jokes to Big Cass, which were funny, including calling Devon the Urkel of the WWE, which was good. Quick match that saw Big Cass picking up the win.
Big Cass was good in this. He caught a very solid promo. Again, quick match. Not much to worry about there, but I like this. I thought it was good. I like that they're continuing to build Big Cass up.
I agree with you there. They're at least building him up. We had Dana Brooke taking on Becky Lynch. I don't know about the cartwheel coming out, but the match was okay.
Match was okay. Cartwheel was a little weird. Little stuff kind of was moving, shifting.
Things were moving around a little bit. In the end, Dana Brooke picked up the victory, so the feud will continue between the two on that one.
Good, because Emma's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Damn it, Brent.
We'll talk about the Blame Brent on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. We had, it was scheduled to be Sami Zayn and Cesaro. You had Miz and Kevin Owens on commentary. That didn't last long because Kevin Owens went after Miz. They started brawling in the ring. Referee threw the match out. Shane O'Mac comes out and decides to make a tag match. It would be Kevin teaming with The Miz, taking on Sami and Cesaro. And at this point, Kevin Owens is screaming, "You gave me the worst one!" Which was hysterical. But then Stephanie came out and she switched things up. It'll be The Miz teaming with Cesaro and making Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens a team tonight. Which was great.
This was great. I love the awkwardness that is Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens tag teaming together. I need more of it.
Kevin Owens screaming the entire time, different insults at Sami Zayn, the awkward tags. Yeah, it was great. Kevin Owens and Sami picked the win after Cesaro hit the skull-crushing finale on The Miz, who The Miz tried to do the giant swing, but he hit the skull-crushing finale instead on The Miz, and Owens then sent Cesaro an American, and Zayn hit the Helluva kick for the win, which then Owens laid out Sami.
You know, like you do.
To start off the show, we had AJ Styles. He set the record straight about Roman Reigns calling him a liar. Just him. He's heard it everywhere, even on social media. Then we awkwardly share tweets. He said, this is the new era of the WWE, but it's not new to AJ Styles. He's headlined the Tokyo Dome in front of 60,000 people. He's been champion everywhere. And if you're new to him, he has to prove himself everywhere he goes. Roman Reigns shows up. He says AJ may have headlined all over the world and won championships after championships, but it doesn't matter until you win the championship, which is the WWE Championship. They are the main event of Extreme Rules. Roman says AJ is phenomenal at lying. Roman says he will be in the Usos' corner tonight and wants to know if AJ will be there for the Anderson Gallows, which he will be. AJ says Roman is the guy that AJ is going to beat at Extreme Rules. Then they had a fight a little bit when Gallows and Anderson showed up, then the Usos showed up, and also the line was, the bloodline is stronger than the club. The bloodline is the new stable name.
I like it. It fits. Mm-hmm. It works. Yeah. It's not the family, which is good.
It's not the family, yes. That's true.
But this was just timed oddly, because you had AJ shooting an insult when the rest of the club came out.
Yeah.
Roman was good in this. He was angry. He was aggressive, which is what you need him to be. I think he's getting more of a feel for that, but we'll have to see. But I liked Roman in this, because Roman felt very, very strong in this, which is what you want from your champion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the other thing that the Steph and Shane were talking about was the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn situation, how they want to get on the same page with one another, just to wrap that whole thing up. So, Chris Jericho wants an apology. Dean Ambrose is in the ring. He calls out Chris Jericho, who again demands the apology, and because he wants an apology and the $15,000 for the jacket, because, you know, it's the collectible, an heirloom, it's a piece of history, you know the deal. He says that's not happening, but he called him out to challenge him to a match at Extreme Rules. Jericho expects that. He accepts the match, and he will take $15,000 out of Dean Ambrose's ass. Apparently Dean Ambrose's ass shoots money.
Well, it depends on what day of the week and how drunk he is.
True. They call Dean Ambrose a lunatic, but Chris Jericho says he's a lunatic. It's not a catchphrase because there's no one crazier than him. He's faced everyone in WWE, and they put it in front of him. He's being the mall. He's not scared of Ambrose, but scared for him. He will show Dean Ambrose what a lunatic does and what a lunatic looks like when he meets Dean with a smile on his face and not a tear in his eye. And then Dean says he has a gift for Chris Jericho, not the gift of Jericho. It's a steel cage. Not just any steel cage. Oh, no, 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 no. This will be the first ever asylum match. Dean says they will be locked inside a cage and it'll be decorated with some of his favorite things. Dean says, we don't know what will happen on Sunday, but because it's uncharted waters. You may be thinking there's some way out, but you can't. There's no way out. No escape in this asylum. You may be the best in the world at what you do, but when you enter his world, what you do will be scream and cry and beg for mercy. When the door closes and you enter this asylum, he promised us that Jericho will never, ever be the same again. You had straight jackets. You had, I guess,
Mitch Jr.
Mitch Jr. was up there and a couple other different weapons.
There was a fire extinguisher. There was a mop and a bucket. There was a 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire. I think that was everything.
That was about it.
Pretty close to everything. Yeah, I mean, it was a variety of toys. They're going to have fun on Sunday.
You also had some sort of restraints as well.
Yes. Because you can't do a match in a cage without getting kinky.
Exactly. But this was good. A little awkward with the music, but it was good promo.
It was more it threw you with the music, because the cage got its own entrance, which was a little weird. But, you know, honestly, the ominous music with Ambrose cutting the promo like he did was really, really good, because Ambrose kept his focus and he just sold it, because he was that intense Dean.
Yeah.
That very serious, intense Dean, where it's, I'm going to rip your throat out and feed it to my dog, kind of Dean. And when he gets like that, it's just like, oh, somebody's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the match was like, oh, okay, this is a little weird, but, you know, they kind of sold it with Dean and Jericho, especially Jericho's reaction to it.
Yeah, it was good. It's going to be a good match on Sunday. It's 2 weeks till John Cena returns. And the last matchup on the show was Kalisto versus Del Rio. Sin Cara got attacked by Rusev backstage.
The League of Nations lives!
And then Del Rio ends up beating Kalisto. After the match, Rusev attacked Kalisto, putting him in the accolade. So, there you go. Build up to Sunday. Rusev has the advantage. So who knows what will happen there.
We'll have to see where it goes. Will he have help from Birdie? Who knows?
Who knows? But that brings us to the main event segment of the night, which was the contract signing with Charlotte and Natty for the women's championship match. And your comment was about the table?
It's a tight... Tiny table! Tiny, tiny, itty-bitty table, because this is a no-muss, no-fuss kind of contract signing. We're just going right for the brawl. They finally learned, after years and years and years of contract signings, to just get a smaller damn table and let them fight it out.
Yeah, Charlotte was really, really confident in this one. She was controlling the crowd, Natty was fine. Ric Flair went crazy. They added a special stip, and Ric Flair even shows up Sunday, walking to the ring. Charlotte gets stripped of the title. Stephanie gets called the worst businesswoman of all time by Ric Flair. Shane has respect for him, but Stephanie doesn't, so she slaps Ric Flair, who did the Flair flop. This all around was a great, great contract signing. Ends with Charlotte being put in the sharpshooter by Natty. And Charlotte taps as Monday Night Raw ends. This was great.
This was fantastic. I'm all about the women closing Raw. Oh, Charlotte was super strong. Natty was good. Everyone was good in this segment. This is what you need this to be. The women's title feels important. It feels like a big match. You've got a nice stip in there regarding Rick, just to ensure he doesn't, you know, trot himself down to ringside. And I like that. I also like Charlotte balking at it and basically them looking at her going, either you sign it now or you forfeit your title now. Which one do you want to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was a little nice out of touch. Stephanie got a little chant for slapping the hell out of Ric Flair. This was good. This was a strong close to Monday Night Raw, and this was a good push for the pay-per-view on Sunday.
As awkward as the rest of the show was, this was the best segment of the night.
It was. Which, it needed to be the best segment of the night.
Yeah, it did. But that will do it for us here on the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back Thursday night for another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack.
That's right. Tune in for news, for notes, for NXT. We will be talking all things Extreme Rules. We will preview the show. We'll let you know who we think we're going to win, or who's going to win, I should say. If I can even get my own plugs right. And so much more. So it's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, where you'll see all the WWE 2K Sim stuff coming this week. No CB Radio Saturday night, because I will be gone, but every other Saturday night, CB Radio, the Weird, the Wacky, the Usual, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio Live at 11 p.m. Eastern, as they'll be recapping everything that goes down at Extreme Rules, and we'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my work, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to girlwork.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for The Rack. I'm right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.